Hi, I'm Ganesh, and today I'll be talking about PacMan, which is a coordinated memory caching system for data-intensive parallel jobs. This is joint work with people at Berkeley, Facebook, and MSR. I mean, as Mike said, this requires no selling, that analysis on big data is now becoming more important than ever before. And there have been frameworks that have been developed for this, like MapReduce, Dryad, and so forth, and these jobs are parallel and massively data intensive. And so when we looked at this Hadoop job log from Facebook, one of the things that we observed, and that was quite exciting, was that 92% of the jobs in Facebook's Hadoop cluster can fit their data in memory. So, okay, this, and with jobs being data intensive, this is a great opportunity to actually cache the data to speed up these jobs. And the trends in terms of memory sizes in these data centers were encouraging as well. Falling prices meant that the machines in these clusters had more memory, and the utilizations were fairly low. This was utilization of the Hadoop jobs in the same cluster, Facebook's Hadoop production cluster. And the median utilization was less than 1/5. So based on these queues, we went ahead and built a memory cache. And this was a simple implementation on top of HDFS, which is the Hadoop distributed file system. And this cached the input data of the jobs, which were accessed by map tasks, and those were the ones that sped up. And we scheduled these map tasks for memory locality such that they ran on the machines that contained the data locally. And we used simple cache replacement policies, the traditional options, like LRU and LFU. We built this thing and replayed the Facebook trace on these Hadoop jobs. And what we saw was the jobs sped up by 10%. And this was kind of funny, this number, because I remember at last Hot OS, John Wilkes made a comment that said he doesn't want to see another cloud computing paper with 10% improvement. So we decided to see, maybe this was because the hit ratio was low, and we tried seeing what would happen if we employed the optimal hit ratio. Like, Belardi's min is the algorithm that uses Oracle information and tries to look at what the future access patterns are and evicts those blocks that are to be accessed farthest in the future. And as you would know, this has been proven to maximize cache hit ratio. And sure, it did improve the hit ratio than what we had before. However, completion time didn't improve by much. It was 10% before, 13% now, hardly significant. So the real question is, how can we make caching significantly speed up jobs in these shared clusters? In answering this question, our key claim is that parallel jobs require a new class of caching algorithms. And I'll explain this by going into detail about the performance characteristics of these jobs. The parallel jobs run multiple tasks, and they run these tasks simultaneously. If the tasks that start simultaneously together, we call it a wave. Small jobs often have enough compute slots to run all their tasks together, so they run in one wave. This is an example of a job with just two tasks. And we see that if we provide memory locality, which is the green block, to one of the task speeds up, but the job doesn't. The job speeds up only when both its tasks get memory locality. A simple lesson we get from this is the fact that these parallel jobs have the all or nothing property, which is that unless we cache the inputs, all the inputs of this job, there is no benefit. How does the all or nothing property work for multi-wave jobs? Some jobs run across multiple waves because the number of tasks they have is way higher than the number of slots the cluster can provide. And we define the number of parallel simultaneous running tasks of a job as its wave width. This is an example of a job that has a wave width initially of 5. It keeps going till in the last wave it has 2 tasks. As before, providing memory locality for just one of the tasks does not improve its completion time, whereas doing it for both speeds it up. The next step in improvement we get is, of course, when we improve the completion time of not one, but all the tasks in the next wave, and so forth. So what this generalizes to is that we need to cache at the wave width granularity for these jobs. This is good, but what does this mean for cache replacement algorithms now? How are they to evict blocks from cache? This means that cache replacement algorithms first have to view the cache in the granularity of inputs of jobs, which we call as file for the rest of the talk, and focus their evictions to incompletely cached waves of inputs. Since we stick to incompletely cached waves of inputs for eviction, we call it the sticky policy. This is an example of what would happen without and with the sticky policy. This is a simple cluster with 8 slots that has 2 jobs running in it. The 2 jobs have 4 tasks each. Without the sticky policy, it would happen that 3 of the tasks in both the jobs get memory locality. However, none of the jobs would speed up despite a hit ratio of 75%. This would be prevented if we had the sticky policy. The sticky policy would go after one of the files only, and it would get rid of job 2's inputs, two of the blocks, but ensure that job 1 at least speeds up. And it achieves this with the same hit ratio as before. Of course, there is an exception to this sticky policy, in that files that are just being loaded into the cache are not marked for eviction because they would be incomplete at that point. But what this also means is that at some point, all the files will be complete. Under such a scenario, what is the file that you should pick to evict? Well, this depends on the metric that you want to optimize. In general, we've seen performance analysis look at 2 classes of metrics. One is the user-centric metrics, and the other one is a system-centric metric. In our study, we pick average completion time, reducing the average completion time of jobs as the user-centric metric, and we pick the utilization of the cluster as the system-centric metric. So the natural question now is, if these are the metrics, what are the eviction policies for these metrics? Let's look at completion time first. We use an idealized model for the job with the fact that its wave width is W. Its frequency is F, which is the number of times this input is accessed. Every task reads data of D, and its duration or the task length is proportional to this D. And the speed up that we get when this cache reads data from memory is mu. If we were to cache the entire input of this job, the cache space that we're going to spend, the cost of caching this job's input, is W times T, which is all the tasks input, which is all the tasks W times the input of each task. The improvement that we would get is equal to the improvement seen by a single task. That is how much the completion time is going to improve now. And of course, this improvement we would get every time the task is accessed, hence it's mu times d times f. Now, for every unit of cache space spent on this job, the benefit that we would get is just mu times f over w, where the d's cancel out. Or in other words, the improvement in completion time of a job is directly proportional to the frequency of access of the input and the wave width of the job. Frequency of access is easy to count in that we just increase it every time the job is accessed. However, how do we estimate the wave width? Because here we are talking evictions, the granularity of files and blocks, and wave width is a property of the job as such. One thing we see is a strong correlation between the file size and the wave width of the job that is accessing it. In this graph, the x-axis is the normalized file size, where the highest file size is given a value of 1, and the lowest file size are the left extreme. And note that the y-axis is at a log scale, And yet there is a strict trend towards towards the fact that as file sizes increase, the wavewidth increases as well. So what we do is to use the file size as a proxy for wavewidth in our calculations. The paper, of course, talks about a slightly more sophisticated approximation where it looks at the job and looks at its wavewidth at fine-grained time intervals and then builds a probabilistic model of these wavewidths. Let's look at the next metric that we had, which was improving utilization, which was the system-centric metric. We used the same idealized model as before for the wavewidth, the frequency, the data read, and the speed up. Caching this job's input is the same as before, in the sense we have to spend W times D of cache space. The benefit, however, now is W times mu times D times F, which is that the speed up that is obtained by every task is now added up, because every time you provide memory locality to a task, that helps in improving efficiency. Of course, then you multiply it by the frequency for each of the accesses. Therefore, the benefit to cost ratio now is that both W and D would cancel off, and it's just mu times F. Mu is, of course, assumed to be a system-wide constant, as before. Hence, the utilization of the job is a function of just the frequency. And what this is saying is that to improve the utilization, you need to favor files that are more frequently accessed and evict the ones that are less frequently accessed. But wait, isn't this what LFU does already today, in the sense that LFU is supposed to evict the files that are less frequently accessed? So does this mean we could just use LFU, and that would be the best that we could do for improving utilization in our idealized model? Not quite, because the all or nothing property does matter even for utilization. And why it matters is because tasks of different phases tend to overlap. Like, for example, in the Hadoop system, reduced tasks are started even before all the map tasks complete. This is to get the benefits of the fact that now you could overlap communication, and this is overall better for the job. This is a simple example of how that overlap affects utilization. Let's take a job here with three map tasks. Two of the tasks, the green ones, are provided memory locality, so they run faster. The blue one is not provided memory locality, and it takes much longer. And let's assume reduced tasks are started after two of the map tasks finish. So it reads the outputs of the completed map tasks, but then waits, sitting idle, for the final map task to finish. And then finally reads the final map task's output, and then does its compute and exits. This idling in between adversely affects our goal of improving utilization. Contrast this with a scheme where the all or nothing property was actually respected. Then all the map tasks would finish together, and then the reduced tasks would just read their outputs without having to idle around. So the all or nothing property is important here in that it leads to no wastage. So we see that the sticky so we're looking at two cache eviction policies. We started out saying that we needed a policy for completion time, and we needed a policy for utilization. For completion time, what we see is that we have to evict the file that has the highest ratio of frequency to wavewidth. And we call this policy life. For utilization, we have to evict the file with the lowest frequency. And we call this policy LFUF. And as we saw both these policies, it is important that the all or nothing property is met. Hence, they have the sticky policy. Okay. Well, the sticky policy is important. How are we going to achieve this in the cluster? The setup we have is that caches are distributed across the different machines, and blocks of files are spread out across these different machines. We claim that in this scenario, the way to achieve the sticky policy is through coordination, which is to have a global view of all the caches. This global view can be used to decide which of the blocks to evict, which is the sticky policy, and where to schedule these tasks, which is important for memory locality. Pac-Man is a system that we've built that realizes coordination using a centralized infrastructure. This is how the modules of the Pac-Man system exist in conjunction with the distributed file system modules. The black dotted lines represent machine boundaries. And on each of these machines, there is a distributed file system slave that runs. And so these slaves are the one that give data to the map tasks. And so what we've modified to do is that the distributed file systems slave processes, once they give the data to the map task, they also give a copy of it to the local Pac-Man client, which the local Pac-Man client puts it in memory. And then it informs the coordinator of the fact that it's got a new piece of data, which helps the coordinator build a global view. Now you could see that this global view is what is useful when one of the clients run out of cache space, and then it tries to decide which of the blocks to evict. So it pings the coordinator, and the coordinator says, what is the block that you could evict? And that is where the sticky policy could be implemented. How well does Pac-Man perform? For our evaluation, we use workloads derived from the Facebook and Bing production traces. These production clusters have thousands of nodes in them. And our prototype was built to work in conjunction with HDFS. And we deployed our experiments on our EC2 cluster and provided a cache of 20 gigabytes per machine. We also had extensive simulations to validate our results over much longer terms. So the metrics that we're going to look for is completion time and utilization. These are how the reduction in completion times stack up for the different replacement policies. Clearly, we see that life, which is meant for improving completion time in our model, improves, is much better than min, LRU, and LFU by a factor of 3 to 6. And this is despite the fact that it has a lower hit ratio than a couple of these schemes. It has a lower hit ratio than LFU, a much lower hit ratio, in fact, than min. And this is where the sticky policy that is implemented on top of Pac-Man's coordinated infrastructure comes into play. So this was the average reduction in average completion time average across all the jobs in the cluster. But which of the jobs actually benefit more, and which of the jobs benefit less? This graph tries to plot the reduction in average completion time for different job bins. The jobs are binned by the number of tasks they contain, which is an indication of the size of the job. Quite clearly, small jobs see the largest improvement with life. This is not surprising because by virtue of the fact that they have much fewer tasks, they often tend to have lower wave widths as well. And since life favors those jobs that have lower wave widths, these jobs see substantially more improvement. A slightly surprising but encouraging point is that the large jobs see benefits as well. This is because of the power law that we see in job sizes that I referred to before, was that the small jobs require very little cache space to cache all their inputs. So even after satisfying all of them, the system has sufficient space for the large jobs. So this spillover space is used for improving the large jobs as well. Let's move to utilization next. And these are the utilization improvements that we see for the same set of replacement policies, LRU, LFU, min, and LFUF. And the key difference is that while LFUF is better than LRU and LFU, it is also better than min for the reason that I referred to before, was that there was overlap of phases, and so implementing the sticky policy helps. I'll quickly go through related work now. As you would know, there's been a lot of interest in in-memory computation frameworks. Like we heard Spark yesterday, you know, there have been other frameworks as well. And these frameworks cache data for iterative jobs across these different iterations. Pac-Man is different in the sense that it mediates cache accesses across the different jobs of these frameworks. So in that sense, it would work with the schedulers of these frameworks. There have been memory storage systems that have been proposed, one of them being RAMCloud, the recent project. And these systems propose that we store all of the data that we have in memory. And while this is suited for web applications, for data-intensive clusters, this might be hard because the amount of storage space that we have that they have on disk is way higher than the available memory. Finally, there have been global memory systems like the GMS and the NOW projects. The key difference in Pac-Man with respect to these systems is that they do not replace based on job-level semantics and granularities, which we find is pretty important for parallel jobs and their all-or-nothing property. So to conclude, we've seen that we've identified that these parallel jobs have the all-or-nothing property, and you need to cache all of the inputs of a job to see improvement. We've built a system, Pac-Man, that realizes this and that takes the all-or-nothing property into account using a coordinated infrastructure and the sticky policy that evicts from those files that have incomplete inputs. And we built two cache replacement schemes on top of it, LIFE and LFUF, optimized for completion time and utilization. And our evaluation production workloads see that jobs improve by 53%, and cluster utilization improves by over 50% as well. Thanks. Be happy to take questions.
The contributions of different factors in the total completion time, like compute time, communication time, and the disk access time. By doing this, I mean, you are essentially reducing the disk access time. So, you know, like, what are the percentage contribution of this each of these different components, and so that, I mean, we can understand, like, how much is how is this giving this much improvement?
So one of the things that I said before was that these jobs have this map phase, which is the data intensive phase, and like the key time that is spent by this data intensive phase is to just read the data from the input. And the data that we have is that the map phase constitutes about, I don't exactly remember, but about 60 to 70% of the job's lifetime. So because of that, if we speed up the map phase, there is substantial improvement in that you would get. But I agree that there is a remaining part that would be for compute, and sure, there would be other techniques that one could use to address that.
Nice talk, Kanish. Sriram from Yahoo. So you say that cluster utilization goes up by 54%. So let's say you were to add more jobs to the mix. What happens to your, you know, those speed ups? Do they still remain the same? What happens to the hit rates?
Sorry, you mean?
So you say that the cluster utilization goes up by 54% and jobs speed up by 53% faster, which means that there are more slots now available in the cluster for users to use.
Right.
So as you put more jobs to the mix, what happens to the, does your hit rate go down? Do you still get the same speed ups?
My sense would be that at some point, the hit rate would not improve. In the sense, it would be steady at a certain value. But I think at this stage, when we would add more jobs, cluster utilization would definitely improve further.
Hi, I'm John Osterhout from Stanford. You make a pretty compelling case that it's getting harder and harder to take advantage of caching as we build these large distributed systems and they get more and more complicated. So the question is this a losing battle over the long run? What do you think are the odds that eventually it will turn out that we just have to get over it? It's been fun with caching, but it's not going to work for the long run.
Well, I think as long as the thing with power law exists, and that there are a few small jobs there are lots of small jobs and a few large jobs, I think caching is definitely going to improve. But we would go to a trend where we would have to favor those jobs that are smaller and you know, much more easier to fit in the cache. And perhaps in that time, it would be a losing battle for the large jobs where we would have to contend with other ways of improving those large jobs. But I think for small jobs, there's definitely going to be value.